Welcome you. I'm Pastor David, and I'm filling in for Cody today. We need to pray for them. Laurel's having some tests up at Vanderbilt, and so they're out of town today. So Let's pray for them as they're traveling and they're on the road. As I look around, I don't know that I see any first-time guests with us, but we're grateful that you're here for worship today. Let me just give you a couple of reminders of things that are going on today after the service and this evening, and then we'll get right in. We'll get right back and sing some more, okay? Right after church this morning, we're going to be doing another camp lunch fundraiser. So if you can stay and eat lunch with us, we'd love to have you. The idea is we're just gonna feed you lunch, and if you can contribute to our camp fund, we'd appreciate it. And then we'll be going the week after July 4th on a Sunday, so we'll be going 5 through 9 to camp this year. And so be in prayer for that. There'll be a lot of other churches joining us, several other churches with us. And so pray for not only the kids from our church that will go, but from kids from other churches as we kind of partner together with them and do that, that there'll be some that will receive the gospel. Also this evening, we need you to be here for VBS training. If you're working, helping with VBS, any of our volunteers, we're going to be doing that today at 4:30. Our VBS is coming up on the 21st, next week. It'll be a week from tomorrow, right? So we'll be doing some training this afternoon at 4:30, if you can be here for that. I think that there are some that need to do forms. Am I right, Lynn? Some that have, because we do background checks and all that on our workers. We want to have those things up to date, and VBS is a great time to do that with all our children's workers. And I think that Leanne and Sammy are going to be going to South Carolina this evening. And so if you can, they won't be here tonight. Leanne won't be here for the meeting. And so I think, Lynn, maybe are you getting with those people? If you can meet with Leanne after church, if you can just hang around back here in the foyer, Leanne's going to come and make sure that you get all those forms fixed. She's over in Children's Church, so if you'll give her just a minute to dismiss everybody, and then she'll meet you over here if you need to do those forms. And then the rest of our workers will be there tonight to get some good info from Lynn and to be prepared for VBS. Let me give you one other announcement before we pray, and several we need to remember. I would ask you to remember Bill Pierce. Bill's not doing well. Jackie Miller, I mentioned Ed last week. Ed's had cancer and has not been doing well. Didn't get a good report the other week. And Ed passed away last night about 11 o'clock. And so let's remember their family and keep Jackie in your prayers. And I don't know that they're, I think at Ed's request, I'm not sure that they're going to do a funeral or a service or anything like that. But just pray for them. Pray for their family as he's passed, all right? Let's say a word of prayer this morning and thank the Lord that we can be in his house, that we can worship together. And it's good to be in his house, and it's good to have the privilege to worship, all right? Cliff Williams, would you open us up with a word of prayer? Let's stand together and sing again. Page 616, we're lifting his name on high. We're happy because he has saved us, and we have all that we have in him. Oh, I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. My name was written down. Some songs we sing are good and happy and praise. This is a song that's a prayer. And so we're going to sing the same words through a couple of times. And as we sing it, I think we should ask ourselves, ask our heart, as we sing this, do we mean it? Do we mean what we're singing? Is this a prayer that we can truly utter from our heart and mean it? Let's sing together step by step.
Oh, that's your key.
If your world is falling apart. love to build things. It's fun that you just have the freedom to build whatever you want.
Put on your hard hat and cinch up your tool belt for a groundbreaking BBS.
I'm excited about concrete and cranes.
As you explore a world of concrete and cranes, rivets and rebar, bulldozers and backhoes, you will discover that skyscrapers aren't the only things that need a rock-solid foundation.
I would love to drive an excavator and dig in the ground.
During Blueprint Bible Study, stories of love, forgiveness, and resurrection pave the way to a faith built on Jesus, a faith built to last.
Wrecking balls are the best because they're big and they can smash a lot of things.
Every part of the day helps you uncover truth. You'll level up during games of Wrecking Ball Wreck. Crunch on delicious treats at Food Truck Snacks. Nail every project at Bulldozer Craft. Make the ground shake at Jackhammer Music. Dig into the work of missionaries at Excavator Missions. And hit all the high notes at High Steel Worship Rally. All week, you'll hammer in on Philippians 1:6, which reveals God's plan for knowing you through Jesus, our strong foundation. Don't miss out on a groundbreaking summer. Join us at Concrete and Cranes VBS.
We have a lot of workers that have been decorating our building and getting things ready, teachers that are getting lessons ready. So keep being in prayer for our VBS. And take your Bibles this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 8 with me. Proverbs chapter 8. We started last week looking at wisdom just as a topic and thinking about the wisdom of applying God's word to our life and what that means and living in God's wisdom. And I want to start off today, before we get into the message, I want to start off today by reviewing some English. Let's talk about some English this morning, okay? So there are some kinds of words that we use that make English somewhat of a difficult language, right? These words are homophones, homographs, and homonyms. Let me give you a refresher. This is a homophone. Homophones sound the same. When we use them in a sentence, if you were just to hear the word, there's no difference in what they sound like. They sound the same. But when they're written out, they're spelled differently. That's a homophone, right? We know the difference, right? Ships sail on the sea, and we see with our eyes. We know the difference. But C sounds the same when we say it. So if you were not an English speaker, it might be difficult for you to pick up the difference in the word C because they sound exactly the same, right? Homographs are right the opposite. Homographs look the same. If you see them written out, they look the same. But when you pronounce them, you pronounce them differently. So you bow your head in prayer, but you wear a bow in your hair, right? So if you were not an English speaker and you saw that written out, you might not know how to pronounce it, right? You might know one, but you might not know the other, right? So it makes it difficult. Homonyms look the same. You say them the same. But they have different definitions, right? One, in this picture, is a thing. It's a thing that you sit in and you go back and forth, right? Or take a swing at that baseball. They're two different things, right? But they look the same. They sound the same. This is important because our message today has a homonym. The title of the message has a homonym in it. And because that one word has two different definitions, I want you to really understand the thought process behind the title of this message. And so it's important that you recognize that it is a homonym. Today we want to talk about, from Proverbs chapter 8, we want to talk about wisdom's appeal. Appeal is a homonym. If I were to think about, if I go to the dictionary and I look up what the word appeal means, I'm going to find different definitions there. One of the definitions that I'm going to find is, I'm going to find an urgent, earnest request. I made an appeal to Miss Shirley that she would make some of those chocolate chip cookies that bend over when you hold them on one side, right? I make an appeal to her. I make a strong, urgent argument, right? I make an appeal, a plea for her to do that. But we also use the word appeal this way, right? The idea of gaining interest, like the power of attracting interest to a thing, right? That idea has a certain appeal to us, right? There's appeal, and it looks good. It sounds like a good idea. There's appeal there, right? And so as we look at the title of this message, both of those things are true in this passage. Wisdom is going to make an appeal to us. Wisdom is going to make an earnest, urgent plea for us. But by the time we work our way through the passage and we get to the end, we see that when it comes to living out godly principles, when it comes to living in godly wisdom, there's an appeal to this. There's a positive. There's a benefit. There's a plus to living in godly wisdom. Let's read the passage together. And I'm going to skip around a little bit. We're not going to read all of chapter 8 for time's sake, but let's start in verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Jump over to verse 32. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. I want us to talk for just a minute. Before we dive into this passage and look at it, I want us to talk for just a minute about what wisdom is and what wisdom is not. It's really important before we get into this, because last week, what we talked about was not, we talked about wisdom. We talked about God approaching, you know, making this offer to Solomon and Solomon choosing wisdom and the idea that you and I must choose every day to walk in God's principles. We must make a decision. We must be determined to walk and apply these principles to our life, right? And we gave kind of a definition of wisdom, but I want to be very clear today. It's really important before we get into this passage that we know what we're talking about when we say wisdom. Because if we're confused on that and you think I mean one thing, you could hear me wrong. And I don't want that, okay? So when I talk about wisdom, what am I talking about? When I talk about wisdom, I'm talking about applying God's word to your life. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm about taking the godly principles of this word and living it out. Right? How do we take what we find here, what we read and what we study, and living it out? That's the idea of wisdom, okay? Now let me tell you what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not gaining a bunch of knowledge about religious things. That's not what wisdom is, okay? There's a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible, but never take the truths of the Bible and apply them to their life. See what I'm saying? So wisdom is not just heaping up a bunch of knowledge about religious things or knowing lots of things about religious doctrine or about the Bible. That's not what wisdom is, okay? Wisdom is not this idea of understanding or gaining a lot of information about the world around you and just being really savvy as you live your day-to-day life. That's not what wisdom is either, right? It's not just this heaping up of knowledge, religious or otherwise, that can help you in life. Wisdom is applying biblical, godly wisdom to the facets of our life. Okay? Wisdom is not some kind of secret knowledge. Right? It's not secretive. It's not something that you have to really get to. It's not like I'm preaching here today that you can know Jesus, but then there's this wisdom level that you can have where you can grow in your relationship with Christ and then he lets you in on some hidden secret that nobody else knows about. That's not what's happening here either, because if you read the passage that we're reading, it's a pretty public announcement that wisdom's giving, right? We'll see that in a minute too, right? So it's not some kind of secret knowledge that a person has to have in their spiritual walk. Wisdom is not salvation. It's really important you hear me. Wisdom is not salvation, and this is the most important thing that you don't get it confused with. When I talk about wisdom, what I'm talking about is not being saved. Because in order to be saved, a person can't just read this and then try to apply it to their life and that becomes salvation. That doesn't work, right? Because we're not saved by works. Now, it is true that if we study God's Word, that God's Word does make us wise to salvation. It is wise to follow what God's Word tells us, to repent and to believe and to trust in Christ. That is a wise thing to do. There's wisdom in it. But salvation is, when I talk about wisdom, I'm not talking about salvation. And so I'll tell you some places where you could get confused, where I don't want you to get confused on this, is that I may talk today about the fact that wisdom is something that you must search for. Wisdom is something that is available to everyone. Those things are not true of salvation, right? Like the idea is that we don't go looking for God. God comes and finds us, right? God comes to us and appeals to our heart. The idea that we go looking for it, that's not true. The idea that salvation is available to everyone, the Bible calls and says, whosoever will come. But everyone will not be saved. Everyone will not go to heaven, right? And so when I talk about wisdom, don't confuse it with salvation. Do not confuse it with the Holy Spirit or with Jesus. There's a great, as I just read this week, there's a great number of commentators, and there's a temptation for me too, because as a preacher of the gospel, what do I preach? Jesus saves. And so there's a real temptation to take what we're talking about with wisdom and try to turn it into or find parallels with Jesus or with the Holy Spirit, with God, right? But wisdom is not, that's not what we're talking about here with wisdom. When we talk about wisdom, we want to be thinking about this, the application of God's Word to our everyday life. That's what's wise. You know what's not wise? Coming here Sunday after Sunday, hearing God's Word, studying God's Word, knowing what God's Word says, yet when an instance or a circumstance comes along in our life, we say, well, I know the Bible says, but. Some of you grinned when I said that. Here's the truth. Some people say that in their heart when they come to a circumstance. I've had people that come to me and they say that out loud. I want to know what to do. I know the Bible says that I should do this, but. So it sounds really simple to say wisdom is applying biblical principles. It seems like a super simple message. David, why are you even preaching about this? Yeah, we should do what the Bible says. I get it, David. But the truth is that we don't always walk in biblical wisdom, do we? It is a very simple message, but it's the application that's the real trick, right? It's not the knowledge of it, it's the application of it. It's taking the circumstance when we're filled with emotions at work because of this thing that's gone on, being filled with those emotions and letting the godly principles of wisdom override our emotional reaction. This is difficult, right? When we're being bombarded on every side by everything. And we know what we ought to do, but this seems like a much easier route to take. Then biblical wisdom, we should hang on to that. We should listen for that cry. It is a simple message. The simple message is, we should do what the Bible tells us to do. But that's not what we always do, right? So, let's look to the chapter. Let's see how Proverbs 8, how wisdom is talked about in this passage and how we can use that as we're thinking about living out a Christian life, as we're thinking about working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, leaning on the Word of God. Let's figure out how we do that based on the passage that we're reading today. Let's start with this. Let's start by talking about wisdom's call. In the first five verses of this text, wisdom is offering a call to us. It's an appeal. It's an appeal to come. It's an appeal to listen. In this passage, wisdom is not a woman. Okay? But you heard that wrong. That's not what I meant. But what this passage is saying is this passage is, when you read the Bible, you can't just read the Bible. It's, I mean, you can start at Genesis and read to Revelation, right? You can do that. But the Bible is a book that's not necessarily meant to be read from page one to page end, right? In the same way as you're reading through the Bible, if you were to start at Genesis and go to Revelation, there are different kinds of genres of literature, right? You can't read everything the same. Genesis has a lot of just, you know, stories of Abraham's family and how that promise that God made to Abraham, how you go from Adam to Abraham to Joseph, right? How you see this promise expanded. And so you can read Genesis very much like you would read a novel or a story, right? Because it reads that way. There's action, things happen, all that sort of stuff. But Proverbs is not a novel. Proverbs is poetry. And so just like we looked at Psalms on those Sunday nights, the language that you find there is poetic. It's not straightforward. It's not literal all the time. And so put yourself there. When I say that wisdom is not a woman, what I mean is that in this passage, wisdom is personified as a young woman. In this poetry kind of language, wisdom is presented to us. We have an image here to show us how wisdom behaves or what wisdom does. The writer here is taking wisdom and personifying it in a young lady, in a woman who raises her voice, who cries aloud, who makes a call for others to hear. That's the idea, right? Because here's what he's getting at. In this idea that wisdom calls, as I said before, it's a public call. It's not some kind of secret, hidden thing, right? The truth is that God's commands, the wisdom of God's word, the principles of God's word are made available for all of us. Now, not everyone follows or applies the principles of God's word. Not everyone applies God's wisdom. That's why wisdom's making the appeal, right? Listen, go down this road, follow, heed my instruction, listen to my words. That's the appeal, right? But not everyone does that. Notice how public this appeal is. Just look at the text with me. Track through verses 2 and 3. In verses 2 and 3, there are four locations, and those four locations are extremely public places. Look at the first part of verse 2. On the heights beside the way. Imagine a hill that's beside the road. You have travelers passing by on the road back and forth, and wisdom, this young woman, stands on top of the hill and cries out to travelers as they pass. That's the first image. Look at the second part of verse 2. At the crossroads, at the busiest street in town, the busiest intersection in town, she stands and lifts her voice. First part of verse 3. Beside the gates of the town, as people enter, as people go in and come out, and the gates, you know, were the hub of, it was like the city hall of the town, right? It was place where the business was transacted. And it was a gathering place in a lot of sorts. So there would have been a lot of people at the gate. Last part of that verse says, at the portals. This idea is as people go in and as people come out, as people are traveling from, as people are going from one area to another, she stands in these public places on a hill by the road, on the busiest street corner in town, at the gates, at the doorway. She stands and she lifts her voice and she makes her appeal for men and women and boys and girls to take the principles of God's word and to apply them. Very different from how we often feel temptation, right? Think for just a minute. Next week, we're going to, if things continue, we're going to back up and we're going to look at Proverbs 7 next week. And the difference between the two is that this week you have a young woman, wisdom, young woman, standing and crying out aloud in public places. Next week, we're going to find a young man who's tempted by a seductress. And it's private and it's personal. See what I'm saying? It's this idea, it's kind of like deceptive. The difference in the two, these chapters are back to back in Proverbs, and if you'll think for just a moment about it, if you think about the temptations of your heart, what happens there? There's this secretive, kind of deceptive feeling. There's this this idea that it's something that's kind of hidden that you wouldn't want everyone to know about, right? But what happens with wisdom's call? Public, and proud, and it's very upright, and it's very straightforward. It's out in the public. It's very different. This is a contrast in the pictures. And if you'll think for just a minute about what happens, God makes his will known. God makes his precepts, his principles known in a very straightforward, open way. And God communicates those things to us in so many different ways. God's wisdom is not something that's hard to find, right? If you look in Scripture, it's not something that's not available to us. Let me talk for a minute. Let's just think for a minute about all the ways that God shares with us or lets us know the principles of his word. Think for just a minute about how we might come to know that. Primarily, we know it through Scripture, right? I would say first and foremost, God has shown us in his word the principles that he wants us to follow. He's shown us his own heart, right? And because he's shown us his heart, he's shown everything he wants us to know about him is here. And so when we are deciding how do we try to enact in this situation in the way that God would have me to walk, what would he have me to do here? Well, Scripture speaks to us. It guides us. Many of you are familiar with Psalm 119 in verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. It guides me. It directs me. When I don't know how to go or what to do, God's word is showing me. It's directing me. We get wisdom. We can find wisdom in God's word. It shows us this path to character and integrity and godly behavior. But I want you to think for just a minute about the fact that not everyone reads the Bible or studies the Bible. So where are some other places that we get wisdom? Right? Even, and I'm talking about godly wisdom. Hear me, okay? God puts other people in our life, doesn't he? Like if you just think about Proverbs, I'll tell you one. Like I'm thinking about this primarily because Proverbs does. In Proverbs, the role of a godly parent is huge, right? Like these chapters that Solomon is giving are written, especially the one we'll read next week, are given to his son. It's spoken directly to his son. So this idea that you and I have had godly parents and godly parents lean on God's word, trust on God's word, and so they take those beliefs and they instill them in their children. A child that has been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord has probably heard the Bible, but they've not just heard the Bible from the pages of Scripture, they've heard the Bible from their parents' lips, right? They've heard in the principles and things that their parents have taught them, godly wisdom has been given. You may have never had someone who, didn't have godly parents, but maybe you got a job in high school and you worked with a fella who poured godly wisdom into you. right? And for the first time, you are being exposed to godly wisdom. My point is that godly parents is when I think about it primarily, that's a way that we hear and receive godly wisdom from another person, but it doesn't just have to be your parents. God can place lots of people in our life that can give us good advice, that can point us to the words of Scripture many times, right? But that can lead us in godly wisdom. Think about this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. The direction of the Holy Spirit points us to how we can apply the principles of God's Word, does it not? There's an enlightening perspective that the Holy Spirit gives us where we're able to take a scenario, a situation that doesn't seem to have relevance in any sort of spiritual realm, but the Holy Spirit helps us to see the spiritual side of this situation. This is how we should react according to Scripture because of this. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He's walking with you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. You're able to hear the voice of God as you're living and working and doing. Carrie and I had a conversation the other day. Even the person who doesn't know Christ, even a person who's lost, doesn't know Him, that does not have the Holy Spirit, has a conscience. Now, a conscience is not the same thing as the Holy Spirit, and it's really important that we lay that out. Here's the difference. Your conscience is based on your knowledge, what you know and what you have been taught. That's where conscience comes from, right? Not the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading us in with the voice of God. Conscience is not. I'll give you a good example. Most of the people where we live have been raised and their moral system, their moral code is based on a Judeo-Christian ethic worldview. Even if they don't go to church, if they're not spiritual people, if they don't go to church, if they don't believe in Jesus, many times their ethic, their morals still center around that Judeo-Christian worldview, right? Now, you're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody in Rock Spring, Georgia that believes it's okay to kill and eat people. But if you go to another part of the world, they are taught differently. And because they are taught differently to kill and to eat someone doesn't prick a conscience. Why? They're not saved, so the Holy Spirit's not leading them. Their conscience is not pricked because, well, this is what we do. This is what I've been taught. This is what I know. So a conscience can really vary based on what you have been taught, the system or the code of ethics by which you have been raised, by what you know, right? But even those that do not know Christ have many times been raised with some influence of godly principles on their morals, and so their conscience will tell them this is right, this is wrong, right? The other thing that Carrie and I talked about, you know, your conscience, you can feel guilty with your conscience. But your conscience will not always lead you to a place of repentance. And the Holy Spirit, while the conviction of the Holy Spirit may make you feel bad for a time, the whole purpose of that is to lead you into restoration and repentance and reconciliation. That's a difference between the two. What I'm getting at is there are so many ways that He is speaking to us and He's saying, follow these words. It's not hidden. It's very overt. It's very out there. Listen to these principles. Take them. Apply them. Use them. Now, the truth is that wisdom gives her appeal, and not everyone hears. Not everyone listens to that appeal. Some people, their hearts are hardened against it, right? But as wisdom makes the appeal, her voice is saying to us, like Hebrews 4:7, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Listen to this appeal. Take godly wisdom and apply it. That's the call that wisdom gives. Let's look secondly at this, though. Let's think about wisdom's character. Wisdom is saying, listen to my words, follow, obey. But when you get to verses 6-9, one of the things that I want us to focus on here is, one of the things that really stood out to me is wisdom's character or nature. Why should you apply those things? If wisdom's appeal is, apply them, why? Wisdom will always, listen to me, wisdom will always lift up what is right and will repudiate what is wrong. Godly wisdom will always lift up what is right and will repudiate what is wrong. When you take God's word and you rightly apply it to your life, it is always the right path. Hear me, that's really important. This is consistency here. Now, it's not just when you take God's word and apply it any old way you want to. When you rightly divide the word and you apply it to life, it is the right path. That's important for us, right? Because sometimes just in our own wisdom, we stand and we look at two situations, we look at two paths, and they often seem very similar. That one looks pretty good. On the other hand, this one looks pretty good too. And we sit and we vacillate between the two, complimenting how good each path looks, right? But the truth is that when we apply godly wisdom to our life, when we apply it to... it's always going to lead us down the right path. When you look at this passage, 6 through 9, notice the way that wisdom speaks and notice the way that wisdom does not speak. Here's what I did. I went through and I just walked through the passage one time and I listed the things that wisdom will speak. Look at them. Wisdom will speak noble words. Wisdom will speak what is right. Wisdom will speak utter truth. Wisdom will speak righteous words. In verse 9, wisdom will speak straight, direct words. Look at the passage again. Notice what wisdom will not speak. Wisdom will not speak wickedness. Wisdom will not see in verse 7, wickedness is an abomination, so wisdom will not speak wickedness. In verse 8, wisdom will not speak anything twisted, crooked, perverse is the idea there, right? So just with common sense, if we just read verses 6 through 9 with common sense, we can say that wisdom will always lead us down the right path, the noble, righteous, true path, and will discourage us from taking a path that is wicked, perverse, twisted, crooked. It's really important. It's really important that we recognize that God's words to us are right and true and can be trusted. We live in a world that tells us that all opinions are equally valid. That's not true. God's word stands. Psalms 19 and verse 9 tells us that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. God's wisdom can be trusted. Psalm 119 and verse 28. Therefore, the psalmist says, I consider all your precepts to be right, and I hate every false way. Think about that verse for just a minute. There's a lot of false ways, right? There's a lot of ways that we can go, a lot of paths that we can take that are unwise and not good. But Lord, all of your precepts are right. Let's play devil's advocate for a minute. Let's become a person who does not know Christ. Let's kind of put on our mindset into the worldview of a person who follows what's popular, the philosophies that come along, just follows secular humanism, those kind of ideas, right? Who's to say what's right? David, you read this verse, you say wisdom leads us in ways that are right and true. But who gets to say what's right and what's true? David, the thing that this passage, you use the words wicked and twisted and perverse. But David, who says those things are wicked and twisted and perverse? Okay, I'm going to flip back. You ready? God does. You know how I know a thing is normal and right and true? God says it. God approves of it. God approves of it. That's how I know a thing is right. You know how I know a thing is wicked and perverse and crooked? Because it diverges from what God has said is right and true and straight and good and normal. That's how I know the difference. It's not like we live in a world where we just get to decide, right? It's not like we live in a world where all these things are just arbitrary and we just float around between them and we get to pick the best philosophy, right? I mean, we can do that. But we won't go down the path of wisdom if we do that, right? There's not your wisdom and my wisdom and the... None of that, right? Your truth, my truth, the other truth. There's none of that. There's truth. There is righteousness. And to depart from that, this passage says, is that the polar opposite of those things is wickedness, twisted, crooked, perverse. This was in the passage. When I look at that, the world wants to ridicule what is right and accept what is wrong as normal. This is not where we are, right? In other words, you can follow the wisdom. When you say, okay, I had a friend give me some good advice. Many times we do turn to our friends for advice, right? We ask our friends, we ask our family members, we discuss, if we have a situation that we're going through, we don't know what to do, we present that to our friends, and our friend may tell us, and when they tell us those things, they may sound like a great idea and a good thing to do. As a believer in Jesus Christ, have you ever been in a spot where everything on the surface to you, in all of your wisdom, and in all of your friends' wisdom, and in all of your family's wisdom, this seems to be the right path? But the Holy Spirit says, mm-mm, there's the path right there. You see, we can follow lots of other kinds of wisdom, right? And even well-intentioned people can point us down the wrong one. But what wisdom is saying is, listen to my voice. Anyone, come and listen to my voice. Look at verse 5. Simple ones, fools, hey, dummy. Listen to me. I know the way. Follow my way. And you can follow my way. It can be trusted because I'm only going to tell you things that are true and right and righteous and straight and good and noble. And you can follow these things. Can be trusted. There's credibility there. Think for just a minute about that. The word noble there in the King James is excellent, I believe. And it's often used in other places in the Old Testament. It's used sometimes to speak of someone as a captain. It's used in other places to talk about a ruler. It carries with it this idea of being of authority even, right? So this is a thing that is excellent and noble and should be listened to, should be heeded. It has credibility. It is not a thing that is perverse or twisted. It's straight. It's direct. It's out in the open. It's not twisted or perverse. I went into one way that we maybe diverge, but you know, really where the church has done it is that's what they've done, is twisted and crooked. That's what we've done as a church, right? That's the other thing. When we take the wisdom of the world and we try to fold it into the wisdom of God, that's a problem, right? Hear me. The Holy Spirit can reclaim some things in culture. We can take some things in culture that we don't agree with or some things that are not right or good, and we can make spiritual application of them, right? I might, from this pulpit, I might share with you the plot of a movie that doesn't necessarily honor God and His Word, right? The actions or the things in the movie don't necessarily, but we can take that thing and we can turn it and apply it in a way that helps us to see something new about God, right? That we can, from His Word, a way to explain Scripture. We've done that before, right? But the truth is that while we can reclaim things from culture, we can never take culture and accept that is true and then fold it into the truth of God's Word to apply to our life. That doesn't work. True wisdom, genuine application of God's Word is true and good and right and will lead us down the right path. See, wisdom's call and wisdom's character, but I need to hurry. Let's talk about wisdom's comfort. Wisdom's comfort. I believe that if we listen to wisdom's appeal, if we follow this path that is good and true and right, we will be the most blessed people in the world. No matter what our circumstances are, we will be blessed. In fact, if you look at the passage that we're about to look at, I'm going to take, if you've got your Bible open, I'm going to use verses 10 and 11, and then I'm going to use verses 32 through 36 that we read, because there's kind of a continuation of the same thought there that's going on. For instance, notice this about the passage. Notice, first of all, about those verses, the value that wisdom has. Like the blessing that comes, those who enjoy God's word and find comfort following that path that he has laid out for us. Look at the beauty that's found there, the value. Verses 10 and 11 talk about it like this. You should choose that instruction in wisdom over silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, wisdom better than fine jewels. Because those, it's valuable. It's valuable to go down the right path. There's value and worth and blessing and comfort found in walking the path that God has laid out for us. If you look over to verse 34, wisdom says, blessed is the one who listens to me. There's blessing that's found there. In the book of James, chapter 3, there's another passage that I came across this week, and I want to read it today, even though it's fairly long. Because it lays out this idea that when we choose wisdom, when we walk in wisdom, there are benefits that come from that. James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. It's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice, life of chaos. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's this idea that this is so valuable. This is like gold and silver and jewels, because there's blessing in the fact that when we walk in ways that are not wise, do you know what that brings to our life ultimately? Disorder. Chaos. Drama. The James 3 passage really hits on that, right? Bitterness, jealousy, selfish ambition, the drama that comes to our life. But when we walk on a path of God's wisdom, what is it? It's peace and it's order. It's God's order. Does that mean everything is perfect on this path? Does that mean that all of our problems go away? That's not wisdom's comfort, that we have everything that we want. That's not what's being said there. This is the right path. This is true and right and good. The other thing that you need to notice about this passage is this. Wrapped up in all of this talk of blessings, right? Blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed is the one who listens to me. He'll find life, obtain favor from the Lord. Wrapped up in all of those things, did you notice, if you were to just look at verses 10 and 11 and 32 through 36, do you notice all of the commands that are given? Take instruction. Listen to me. Hear. Be wise. See all these instructions that are there for us? It's kind of going back to the appeal that wisdom stands and that God's precepts are laid out for us. We can look to God's word. We can listen to those around us who are godly voices. We can listen to the words of the Holy Spirit. We can follow godly wisdom. We can apply it to our life, and it can be trusted because he is true and he is good and he is righteous and he is right. So his path is that. And when we do that, we come out on the other side experiencing the blessing of walking in His way, of walking in His will. Something else comes to mind when I read this. And I don't really have a fully formed thought here, but I hope that you'll stay with me. I hope that it'll be long, that you can stay with me long enough to see where I'm going, okay? One of the things that strikes me is that sometimes in Proverbs, what's presented is that wisdom is for everyone, right? It's open and it's available for everyone. Then there are other times and other words in here where it's a thing that must be sought after. Proverbs 2, verses 4 and 5 say this, speaking of wisdom, "If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." If you search for it. Have you ever noticed in movies and hero stories, have you ever noticed that wisdom or the thing that we're after, the valuable thing that we're after, is hard to find? It's unique. Let me give you an example. Think about the Wizard of Oz, right? Dorothy wants to figure out how to get home. What does she have to do to figure out how to get home? Well, you follow this yellow brick road and you go find the wizard. And the wizard has the advice. The Wizard of Oz knows the way that you can get home. He'll have an idea. You just follow this yellow brick road and it'll get you there. And as she follows the yellow brick road, there's all kinds of obstacles and things that happen that come upon her in her path that make it difficult for her to get to this knowledge that, right, ended up being wrong to begin with, right? But we see that knowledge was difficult to find, and she had to work her way to get there. How about a movie like an Indiana Jones, right? It's a valuable object, and to get the valuable object, you have to go to the right place. You have to you have to avoid all the traps. You have to figure out all the puzzles. And then if you work everything out just the right way and hang on the vine and swing over the pit and, you know, whatever, then you have the object. This valuable, rare object. And that's how we often view wisdom and prized possessions. We even keep our prized possessions tucked away, hidden away in a vault or a safe, right? That way it's not open for everyone. So what is wisdom? Is wisdom something that's available for anyone? Or is it something that must be mined after and searched? Or is it something that must be mined after and searched, and anybody can do the mining, and anybody can search for it, and anybody can come and find it? Wisdom is like a lot of things. Godly wisdom, just like we talked about last week with Solomon, must be revealed to us by God. To get our thinking wrapped around this rightly, let's remember that. Godly wisdom doesn't come from us. Godly wisdom only comes from Him. Think for just a minute about how we know anything that we know about God. Now, not to confuse the situation, but I want to take how it worked with our salvation, and I want us to think in those terms for a minute as we think about wisdom. Think about how this is a constant process. The things that we know about God are revealed to us by God, and then we respond to what He reveals. That's the way this works. If you think about it in terms of salvation, I want you to imagine a person that knows nothing about God. How does a person know about God? Well, the Bible says in Romans 1 that there's a general revelation to all people that you can look in creation. The things that are to be known about God can be known in the world that is around us. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, is that knowledge of God the gospel? No, but it's a revelation of God. And what are we called to do? Respond to that. Think about what happens as you grow in your walk with Christ, right? Think about what happens. Once you come to Christ, think about what happens. You study and you read God's word, and what does God do? He reveals something about himself. Now, is it the whole picture that you get when he reveals? Nope. He reveals something of himself to us. And then what do? We are to respond to what he reveals. And when we do, guess what happens? You know what he tends to do with me? He reveals something else. And when I respond to that, guess what he does? Reveals something else. Here's the thing about godly wisdom. Wisdom, godly wisdom, must be revealed to us. To ask whether it's something that's readily available for everyone or whether it's something that has to be mined and searched for, I think both are kind of true. He reveals it. He reveals something of himself. The real question is, how will you respond to what he has revealed? You see, as we sit here around this room and we open God's Word and we come together for worship on Sunday morning, this is what happens. There are some of you that are here this morning that you may not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he may have revealed that to you. Respond to the Holy Spirit's call in your life. There may be others that are here this morning and you don't know which way to go, but maybe this morning God has shown you which way not to go. And you would respond to him and you would say, God, this morning through this message, I feel like you've directed my heart. And even though I don't have all the answers to every question that I have in this situation, you've revealed yourself to me and I want to follow and trust you. So I'm going to recommit myself to following you and trusting you. I'm going to respond to what you've revealed in my heart. And today you would come and you would do that and see if God wouldn't reveal more. Maybe you're here today, and as you think about your own life, you think about how often you follow the advice of friends, how much the philosophies of this world have been folded into your life, how many times you follow what the world says would be right rather than following what you know Scripture to say. That there's so many times that you come to church knowing what the Bible says, but through the week you says, I know what the Bible says, but, and then we do our own thing. If he's speaking to your heart this morning, the question is not what is he revealing to you. He's revealing, how will we respond to what he has revealed? Lord, this morning as we come to you in prayer, as we come thanking you for what you bring to our minds and hearts, Lord, I pray that we would approach this moment with full obedience. Lord, that we would have a desire to please you, that we would have a desire to walk in godly wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would help us right now to surrender to you whatever area it is of our life that you have put your finger on this morning. I pray that you would help us, to see you and the light of your goodness and your grace. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be obedient right now. Pray that it be our desire to walk in godly wisdom. Help us to recognize that desire is not enough. And help us to follow that call and apply your word. We're grateful for you, and we're thankful that what you show us is good and right and noble and excellent and straight and pure. Help us to think on those things now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. What page is it?
434.
434.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Let's do this. Is there, before I dismiss us, is there something that somebody asked me to announce this morning and I didn't? I feel like there's always those things.